I too greet you in Jesus' name. I was blessed by the things that were shared here this morning, and one of the things that stood out to me as I was listening to those stories that were shared with us from God's Word is the people that were struggling. There's one thing that they were dealing with, it seemed like, and that was they were focused on themselves. They were focused on being the important person and selfishness, really. And so may we listen to those things and, you know, take stock of where we are. What is our focus? Is our focus to serve Christ, to live for Him, like it was mentioned, like Joseph was doing, or is it focused on self? Maybe we can just bow and have a word of prayer here. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning again for the opportunity to be gathered together here. We thank you for your word, for your promises in your word, and for the reminders of who we were and who we easily can become if we don't keep our eyes focused on you. Lord, we're here this morning because we want to hear from you. We want you to speak to us. And Lord, I just pray that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid upon my heart. I do pray this morning for those that are not here, that often are. I just pray that you would keep your hand over them, that you would bless them, that they could be blessed wherever they are. We just want to commit all to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The last time I was up here sharing, the crowd looked quite a bit different. There was more people here and different people here. And I was sharing from Nehemiah there. And I would like to just again pick up there and bring some more things out that came to mind as I was pondering that message that I shared. And I guess another thing that motivated me was some responses that I had gotten, questions that were asked, and appreciations that were shared, just got me thinking further into that message there. And so I just chose to, again, look at that and see what we can glean from Nehemiah there. Obviously, we realized there was a people here that saw a need, and Nehemiah stirred up the people and got people together to come together with a common goal of rebuilding the wall, which is what I was talking about. And one of the questions there that I was that I received there that is building the wall, what does that represent? And in my mind is that, you know, it is in my life today, it is doing the work of the Lord. And that can mean a lot of different things depending on where we are at. Another thing that was brought to me is like, you know, well, sometimes I'm not sure what God wants me to do. And, you know, it would be easier if somebody just told me, you know, this is what you're supposed to be doing. And, you know, there's a part of us as people that feels easy. And at times that's where, you know, there's times that people tap us on the shoulder and say, hey, did you see this needs to be done? And we do well in that. But it seems like, you know, if our if we feel like we're robots, so to speak, and someone's saying, hey, do this, do that, do, and we like to be free thinkers, and we feel, you know, sometimes don't appreciate that so much. But what does, you know, what does God want in all of this? In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6 here, we, in this verse here, we see that things were going really well. And the walls were being brought together, and there was a working together. And we see here the mindset that the people had in this verse, and that was they were focused on the job, and they had a mind to work. And they weren't, it doesn't appear like they were going to be easily distracted. As I was thinking about God's work, and we see here what was happening here, and I was looking at some surveys of that have been done of people, of the working class people that hold jobs, and how, what this, at least this group of people, what they came up with the different people that they quizzed about their jobs. And what they found in this is that about 80% of people that hold jobs dislike their jobs. And it's like, wow, that's, you know, that doesn't look very encouraging. And then on another note, in people in the church, in the work that needs to be done in the church, is that it's about 20 to 25% of the people in the church do about 100% of the work. And it was, that was just some interesting observations that I took, that I read. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, it tells us that we should do things wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. And, you know, if we perchance fall into that category of that 80% of 80% of what people are, which I trust and pray that that's not where we are here today. And, but if we happen to be in that, what a job it would be to try to bring Colossians 3, verse 22 alive into our hearts. That would be a difficult task if we have a view of, you know, we're not really liking the position that I stand in life, and we don't have a way of changing that. So as I was, you know, thinking about that 20, you know, a small percentage of the people in the church doing most of the work, it reminded me of a story that I read, and I think we probably read, you know, seen and heard different things being said about people that, the road workers and how they work. And there's this story that I read about, there was these two men out, and they were working along the road, and the one was digging a hole, and the other one was filling the hole back in. They were doing what they were told to do. And someone asked them, it's like, well, what are you doing? It's like, well, I'm digging a hole to, we're planting trees. And it's his job to dig the hole. And the other person's job was to cover the hole back up. And they said, well, the guy that plants the trees isn't here today. And so there was no one there to plant the trees. And so they just skipped that part. And it's like, wow, you know, That looks pretty comical when we stop and think about that. But how often do we do that with God's word? The things of the church. You know, last time I was up here, there was, I think, more people. And we formed a circle around here. And it filled the whole rows out. There was room. I mean, people were standing shoulder to shoulder. And so when we think about doing God's work, and it's like, well, we all have a task. You know, if we did that, if we stood up here today, you know, there's a number of people that are missing here that were here 2 weeks ago. And some are not here because they're sick. Some are not here because they're off listening to the gospel being preached from at a different place. And they're trying to learn things, you know, and they'll be back again, Lord willing, in 2 weeks or in a week. And but, you know, some have gone on to do some other things, and maybe they're good things. Is there someone here that's going to step up to the plate and fill that position? Or is like, are we going to be the man that, you know, well, there's no one here to plant the trees, and so no one's going to plant the trees? Who's going to step up to the needs that they see that are left undone because of people that are not here to do that? So just some thought-provoking things that I've been processing in my mind. You know, we look at the small group of people that are doing the productive work, that are in the church, we see, you know, in that are doing most of the work in the workplace. There's a small group of people that has a positive outlook about where they're at. And as I was pondering that, you know, you want to focus on the larger amount of people that doesn't seem like they're doing so well. Let's focus on them. You know, let's try to straighten them out and get them where they need to be. But as I was thinking about that, I would like to look at the other group of people. And what can we learn from them? That 20%, what is their secret? What makes them do what they do? You know, when people are being negative or doing nothing, and this small group of people stands up and says, oh, this needs to be done, and they just plug in and do it. And it's like, you know, you see this small group of people saying encouraging things and trying to motivate the rest of the people. And that's the people that we want to be. And if we this morning find ourselves not doing that, we don't want to focus on what most of the people are doing or what most of the people are saying. But rather, we want to put a listening ear to those few people that are focusing on the things that need to be done, on the things that the people that need to be encouraged, and listen to them. What are they saying? And why are they saying no things? And so that's where, this morning, that's where we want to get our motivation from. In Nehemiah there, you know, they were busy doing the things, building that wall, doing what God wanted them to do. And, you know, we find ourselves in those places too, building and working for the Lord and doing wonderful things. But Nehemiah here, you know, they had people that didn't like what they were doing and maybe even made them feel bad. And they were made fun of the things that they were doing. And so they, you know, they didn't say very nice things to them about their work. And what do we see them doing? You know, they a time or two, they had to refocus and get pulled together. And I think the last time it was mentioned there, you know, at one point there, it was like, well, you know, things looked a little discouraging. And I think Nehemiah maybe mentioned to them, it's like, there's a lot of trash around, you know, we need to start picking up trash. And so if we all start, you know, if that's how we feel about our life, we feel discouraged and we feel like we hardly know which way to turn, what to do next, you know, let's just stop and analyze and see the things that we can see. And if you don't know what the productive thing is to do, look for some trash to pick up. Get rid of those things in your life. And just remove the things that you know that shouldn't be there. And your focus will become much clearer of the things that you should be doing. And it's amazing, you know, in a workplace, at least in my workplace, when I go to, you know, if it's in the shop or whether it's in on the job site, and I have some free time, and you just start, it's like, well, there, I want to do something. What can I do? And it's like, well, it's hardly worthwhile for me to pick up a hammer and start, you know, pounding nails or putting boards in place. But if I just take the time and look around, it's like, oh, there's always trash to pick up. And when you start cleaning the place up and getting material where it needs to be and getting rid of the trash where it doesn't need to be, it's amazing what that does when you just start zeroing in on those things. And when you do that, it motivates people to, it's like, oh, the place looks pretty nice. We're getting somewhere. And it makes a difference. And so if you feel like picking up trash is not a very thankful job, I would encourage you to try it and see what happens. Whether it's in your own life or whether it's in the workplace or whether it's in other people's lives, allow yourself to get dirty and just start doing it. And you will be amazed at the results that you find and the difference that it does make. In Psalms chapter 133, verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew of the descendant upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. When we look at that, the small group of people focused in doing the right thing and being motivated in spite of maybe what the larger voice is saying, you know, one of the things that I'm pretty certain that we can, if we dig into it and start observing these people, is they're usually not alone, and they're choosing where they find their encouragement and their motivation. They're not listening to what most people are doing and saying, but rather they're listening to, most of all, they have their focus on God, and they're motivated by what they believe God would have them to do. And they're also finding time and finding encouragement from others that are feeling the same way. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, in verse 9 and 10 there, it tells us that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. And when we think about teaming up with people, and if we try to do something alone, if we I can do this alone and get good results. In that, you know, in it has its place. But when there's a need for two people and people dwell together and come together and learn how to work together, they will definitely reap the rewards of that. So some of the things that, you know, some of the jobs that we have as a people, you know, and it's some of the things we know so well, but maybe we don't realize what they are. And I just like to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 there, and when we focus on what this survey is saying is only a small amount of the people that are doing it, and I would dare say if we would focus on this category of people, what are some of the things that they're doing or have done? And some of these people may not, you know, necessarily be following God's word, so to say, but I would dare say that they have learned godly principles maybe in their life. But in Ephesians chapter 6 here, verse 1, it's talking to children. So children, God is telling you something here that he wants you to learn. And, you know, when we think of children, we think of young children. But in this verse here, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it talks about honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And it's a beautiful thing when children learn to obey their elders. But you know, it's unfortunate when young children don't learn this, when they don't learn to let go of what they want to do and listen to what daddy and mommy wants to do. And if you ever, and I'm sure we probably have met people that very obviously haven't learned that. And when you grow up and are an older person and you've never learned to do that, it's not a good thing. And it will probably put you if this is something that you do not learn and learn to respect authority, learn to respect older people, wiser people in your life, it will probably almost for sure put you in the 80% category, because you're gonna listen to yourself. You're used to doing what the things that I want to do. You know, we heard some stories this morning about self and self, you know, bitterness and things. And there's a large focus on what I need, what I want. And so that's where some of those things will take us. In verse 4 here in this chapter, it talks to fathers. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, as fathers, we have a responsibility in these things. It's a job. It's a calling. If you're a dad this morning, it's an important part of your job, of your building the wall, so to speak. And if you don't, you know, if you fail to do this, you know, it's like, you know, if we say, well, I've got better things to do, I don't have time for this, I don't want to do this, it's not a good thing. And it's maybe like the people that were digging a hole and covering it back up and not planting a tree. You know, that's how, you know, maybe how foolish that looks. In verse 5, talking to probably all of us, you know, we when we look at servants, and you know, we in this day and age, we tend to think about maybe employees, employers, but I think it definitely is talking about that. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So we can all put ourselves in this category. We don't always do that. But when we think about who we are in Christ, and we are servants of Christ, if we have made that commitment, and so that will if we have that understanding and that focus, that will largely guide us, and it will, I would dare say, it will put us in that category that we want to focus on. And that's one of their, you know, I think that's one of their key pieces is they have a focus, whether it is of Christ, whether it is of their whoever they're answering to, but you can know for sure that people that are in this class, whether it's in the church or whether it's in the workplace, that their focus isn't on themselves. It is on the greater cause. It is on the project, or making it happen in to bring honor to someone else and not to themselves. In Matthew chapter 16, as we think about this, if any man will, in verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that needs to, as a believer, you know, that needs to be what makes us, as we go through our day, you know, that needs to be alive and well in us. And if, you know, we look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, you know, it talks about a life of doing what I want to do. No, it's a life of, you know, giving up, you know, a living sacrifice, living a life that is outside of me. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 14, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. What do we get from those verses there? You know, what I basically, in a nutshell, it's a call to put our salvation on display. To show the people who Jesus is. To prove, you know, maybe I was part of that 80%, the people that had a negative view of where they were at in life. But now I'm proving to the people that I'm something else. And that something has changed me. And, you know, if we have the opportunity and we do that, you know, that's when people will ask, it's like, well, what's come over you? You're talking different than you used to. And then we have opportunities to tell them about what we've experienced and what we're experiencing now. In John chapter 15, verse 12, you know, it talks about, I believe, about loving people. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Again, we see, you know, we see a focus not on myself, but on others. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, you know, there's that call for us to make disciples for Jesus. And as we go through these different verses, you know, if we feel them and we believe them, you know, when we see someone digging a hole along the road and we see there's someone else is more than willing to cover the hole, but we realize that there's no one planting the trees, what are we going to do? if these verses, you know, we are going to say, well, someone needs to do this. And we will probably step up to the plate, or we will mention to people, it's like, there's a need over here, and who's willing to go and do it? It will matter to us. A conversation that I heard recently that was shared with me, and the conversation was going in, basically this person was saying that they see a need for something in the church, and they were basically frustrated because no one was doing it. And the other person mentioned, it's like, well, that tells me that you notice it and probably you should be doing it. And the person was like, oh, yeah, that's probably right. Something in that line. And so, when we see something, you know, let's not just assume that there's 10 other people that see it too. And, you know, maybe we need to consider that God is showing us something that we should be doing. In all of this, if we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 there, and we read that chapter there, we see that there's a lot that happens in life. You know, there's a time to be born, and there's a time to die, and there's everything in between. You know, a time to be thankful, a time to be in sorrow. And as we read through that chapter, we see the reality of life. And we have to deal with all of those things. And in the middle of all of that, you know, we learn to live out that life that we've, you know, that 20% that the survey brought forth, that's the people that we want to follow after. You know, we can do what many people do, and, you know, they focus on themselves, they focus on the mistreatments that they've had, they focus on life that wasn't fair for them. They even just focus on the negative, the bad things that are happening in the world. And they're not connected to it at all, other than they know that it's going on, and they focus on it, and it makes them angry. Let's not be like that. Let's focus on what Jesus has done, the work that he has given us, the work that needs to be done. You know, we can even focus on, it's like, well, there's all this work that needs to be done, but there's only a few people that are doing it. And that can frustrate us. Let's not allow ourselves to, you know, I think that's why it's so important for us to focus on the people that we know are doing, that are following Jesus, that are doing good, that are making a difference. That's where we want to get our motivation. We want to allow these people to motivate us, to encourage us. We don't want to focus on this other group of people that isn't doing that, because we spend too much time there where we're going to find ourselves getting discouraged. Again, that the secret of that small group of people, you know, their focus is on the greater goal. It is something outside of themselves. They don't need to be the hero. That is not their focus. In Matthew chapter 25, in closing here, we go down to verse 20 here, and we see the parable here that Jesus shared of the three different talents that were given. The one here in verse 20 received 5 talents. And brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And we see the same thing happen with the one that had 2. And he did his job well. He did what he could. But you know, the one that thought he didn't really have a whole lot to offer, he was like, well, he, in his mind, it really wasn't going to make that much of a difference. And he was sort of frustrated, and he just went and did nothing. He dug it, you know, hid it basically, and didn't expose it, didn't use it, and it didn't produce anything here in verse 24. Verse 24, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. It says here that he was afraid, and he basically is like, he didn't do anything. So I'm sure that if we if we aren't part of that smaller group of people, according to this survey, that if we observe this group of people, whether it is in the church or whether it is in the workplace, that you're going to find, I'm certain you're going to find all 3 of these. And they're not going to have the same abilities, but they're going to be focused on the task. They're not focused on well, can I make a name for myself? It's like, well, this person over here is getting more done than I am. That's not going to be their primary focus. It might motivate them and say, it's like, well, I wonder how he does that. And if we're not focused on ourselves, you know, we may even take the time and it's like, how do you do that? I'd like to learn from you. And we're not afraid to learn from each other. And, you know, we're going to be fine with realizing, you know, it's like, well, what is there to do? All I can see is like, wow, there's a lot of trash that needs to be picked up. And we start doing that. And very quickly, we find other things to do. And in the end, you know, we will realize that we have been faithful workers for Jesus. When we follow those steps, may God bless.